Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to The Doubters on Thursday, the 14th of May. Welcome to the people who are joining me live here today and to the people who are joining me on record. So it's just me today. I'm on my own. I'm doing a solo episode. And I'm going to get on to talking about the topic of today, which is that self-doubt is the hallmark of authenticity. And I'm going to explore that topic later on. And why I say I'm going to explore that topic is because I don't have all the answers, right? I'm not here to have all the answers. And I want to explore the topic and I want to explore it with you. So I'm just going to put out some ideas about this topic and hopefully get some feedback from you so people who are on the live session can join me live, can contribute by the chat box, or by record, just, you know, you can just reply to the email that I've sent you. I'm going to get on to exploring that topic in a minute, but just first of all, what I wanted to do is I just wanted to take a few moments to recap, because I've been going for 2 months now, and I wanted to just take a few moments to recap how I've experienced this to date and what this has meant to me. So I've got to tell you, I'm really loving doing this. I'm really enjoying doing this. I'm so happy that I set it up. I'm so grateful for the engagement I've had here. Tell you a secret, you know, every week I've logged on and I thought I'm going to be by myself, or it's going to be just me and my guest, and that's not happened today. Every week I've had somebody join me from somewhere, and I just want to say that I'm so grateful for that support, because it's what makes it possible, right? You know, people coming and joining me and engaging with this space is what makes it possible for me, and I love it. I'm absolutely loving it. Every week I come away from the session and I feel so energized, I feel so alive. I've learned something. I always learn something from this space. And, you know, I've realized that's what it's about for me. This is a space for me to explore this concept around the purpose of self-doubt. As I said, I don't have all the answers. I will never have all the answers. I'm always going to doubt myself. And so, you know, so this space feels really important to be able to develop that concept and with people who are engaging here as well. So I really appreciate that. I'm just going to take a few moments just to reflect upon all the guests we've had and what the key takeaways I've taken from each of these guests, just to remind you, and just to say also what I'm going to be doing shortly. I'm not going to tell you when, because I don't know when, but I am going to be creating a membership library. So people who are new to the community, who weren't able to attend all of these sessions, you'll be able to go in and get these recordings. But in the meantime, if I say anything, if I mention a guest that you haven't heard and you'd like to hear that session, just email me and I will send you the recording. That's fine. They're all kind of hidden at the moment. So what do we have? Got notes here. So yeah, first of all, I just wanted to say I had a comment this week from somebody, and she said that she made an observation. She said, Olivia, you said that you're an introvert. She said, I'm really surprised that you know so many people. And it made me laugh, that because I am an introvert. I love my own company. I love nothing more than to sit at home reading and writing. And I'm really happy in that space. But I also love connecting with people. I really love connecting with people. And that's what my work is about, essentially. But I love connecting with people at that real deep heart level, you know, a real deep authentic level. We're going to come on to talking about authenticity. And everybody who I bring to this community is people who I've connected with through my work. And that is really the beauty of working with something that is a deep purpose, I would say, you know, a deep purpose, a deep passion, something that is so deeply meaningful for me, that when I talk about my work and when I connect with people through my work, it happens on a very deep level. So some of the people I've had here, I've known only recently. Some people are friends going back. Some people, like Dara last week, I'd had only one conversation with her before, and she came on and she was, you know, she was happy to connect. So I would say that, you know, the reason the people I'm bringing into this space are all people I've connected with through my work. And that is such a real gift. First of all, we had, my first guest was Jenny Blake, and it was such an honour to have her, because she's somebody who I really look up to. She's been a huge inspiration and an example to me, somebody who's running her business the way I want to run my business. And Jenny and I spoke about the link between self-doubt and intuition. And my big takeaway from that session, as I look back, I think, what was my big takeaway? And my big takeaway is when we were talking about the current environment and what's going on, the, you know, world events at the moment. And we talked about, she mentioned that intuition is really the only way forward. She said that because, you know, we're kind of out of solutions at the moment, aren't we? You know, nobody really knows what's going to happen when we come out of this stuff. So the importance of tapping into our intuition is it's taking us beyond our known stuff, right? That kind of what we've already known. So we're not applying systems we've already known to the way forward. So she talked about the importance of tapping into our intuition. And something Jenny talked about, which I've been thinking quite a lot about recently, she talked about a non-linear breakthrough, right? So she said, I'm looking for a non-linear breakthrough. And this is something that I've been opening myself up to recently. And a non-linear breakthrough is something that you can kind of open up to, is when you can't see the way forward. And when you get into that space and you're thinking, right, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to get there and I don't know how that's going to work out. And you start getting into the how am I going to make this happen? That's you trying to control events. So the non-linear breakthrough that she talks about is opening yourself up to something that I can't imagine. So it's non-linear, right? It's something that we don't know. And that's what I'm really opening myself up to at the moment. I think it's really important at this time to not act out of anxiety and fear and trying to force things. Now more than ever, really important. And I just want to pick up on a comment that I got through the website, actually, from Irfan, great friend of mine in Pakistan who often joins us here. And hi, Irfan, you're not here today, but I know you're going to listen to the recording. Anyway, you asked a question and you said, is it always right, the right thing to follow intuition? So does following your intuition always bring the right decision? So I just wanted to pick up on that and say that, you know, it's often really not about making a right or wrong decision. That's the issue here, really. So when we're trying to get things right or we're worried about getting things wrong, that's what can drive us to making decisions out of fear or keeping us stuck indeed. But the importance of connecting with that intuition is, as I said a minute ago, it's getting beyond what we've known and getting to also the heart of what's really important to us. Because when you're really feeling that that thing, whatever's going on at a really deep level, intuitive level, then it's not about right or wrong, but it's about just about making a way forward, which is creating a path forward, which is going to be a good path for you. This is what I've found. You know, when I trained as a coach, I decided that I was going to follow my heart with my decisions. I was going to tune into my intuition and allow that to guide me. And that's what I've done. And everything that's unfolded within that space has been way beyond my imagination, way beyond anything I could have wished for myself, because my imagination is really limited. So, you know, by tapping into your intuition, as you open yourself up to something else, and when, you know, when that's in line with your values, then, you know, it's probably the best way forward for you and probably the best way forward for everybody. But it's a challenging path to do that, right? And that's why we talked about self-doubt in relation to intuition, because it can be a challenge to do that. And just by the way, next week I'm going to be starting on a little series about creativity, right? I'm going to be talking about creativity and self-doubt, and I've got a fantastic guest coming on next week, and I need to talk about him at the end of the session. But yeah, I'm going to be starting off a little series about creativity and self-doubt, so that's going to tap into that imagination and innovation and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, the second guest I had along was my good friend Kevin, who's joined us here today. Hi, Kevin. And Kevin talked about belief is not the antidote to doubt. And, you know, looking back and thinking about what was it I really got from that session, what was my takeaway from that session, was he talked about keeping an open mind to possibilities. And again, this, you know, this relates to what I was just talking about, keeping an open mind to stuff that's beyond our imagination. And possibilities and potential. And he talked about how anything, treating anything that throws up in life as an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to teach us what is essential. The next week after that, I had Michael Leckie on, who is a good friend and been a mentor for me in the business. And he talked about the Know Nothing Leader. So he's a leadership consultant. And he talked about the importance of questions over answers. And he talked about figuring out where we're most ignorant, trying to figure out where we're most ignorant. So that's really tapping into our areas of where we doubt ourselves and using that as a way forward. So that really fits with what I'm doing here perfectly. And what I loved about what he said was, instead of worrying about how I'm going to show up when I'm going into a situation, is thinking about what questions I can ask. So that takes away all that self-centered stuff about, oh, are they going to like me? They're not going to like me. What are they going to think of me? It's like, no, what questions can I ask? Where am I ignorant here? What can I learn? And that's really taking that focus away of going in and having to feel like you have to have an answer and know something. So that was a really, you know, beautiful takeaway I got from that session. And then we had Paul on, and he was talking about, we did this little series the last 3 weeks about the strength of weakness. And Paul, a friend of mine and someone I've done a lot of work together, one-to-one personal work with together, he does the iRest yoga nidra work. And, you know, the big takeaway I've got from him is about how when we connect with our weakness and realizing that nothing needs to be changed within that. And that was such a beautiful concept for me to recognize and to work with, because, you know, this is a big challenge in the work, is connecting with those areas of weakness and vulnerability and accepting them as they are. You know, as Kevin said, accepting anything that life throws up as potential and a possibility and learning. And that's always, you know, connecting with those parts of ourselves as well that are difficult, and just accepting them and being with them and recognizing that nothing needs to be changed, and the beauty within that and the strength within that. That was the point, right? The strength of weakness. And then the next week I had Chris Steele on, and he's another leadership consultant, and he talked about the big takeaway that I got from him is about how he talked about how confidence and strength can only be authentic when you understand the areas of yourself that are not so confident and strong. So I love that concept as well. And again, I'm going to come on to talking more about that topic of authenticity in a little bit. And then Dara last week, we covered the topic embracing tenderness. Dara is a holistic coach and a facilitator, and we talked about embracing tenderness. And you know, the perspective that we really tapped into is about becoming whole. It's about becoming whole. That's the point of this stuff. You know, embracing all those difficult parts and becoming a whole person. That's where the strength comes from. And she talked about entering into our suffering as this tenderizing place. And I really resonated with that, because I know that that's what it is for me when I go into that vulnerability and that difficult space. Actually, how tenderizing it can be and humbling, but also what comes from that space is a richness and a connection and that acceptance. So that was really beautiful. So there's just some of my reflections upon the weeks past and what we've had until now, and I've got some fantastic guests booked in coming forward as well. I'm really excited about that. And I'd love to hear your reflections, any of your reflections about what's really stood out for you over the last weeks. What's been really meaningful for you? What would you like me to talk about more? Or is there anything that you don't agree with? Is there anything that's upset you in what I've said? I hope you know that I'll always be here and open to responding to anything that comes up for you from the sessions. You know, just email me, or you can contribute through the website. I always have the link on all of my emails, the contribution link. And this is a learning zone. And I believe I can learn something from everybody who joins me here. And all your contributions are valuable. And if you agree with me, if you don't agree with me, whatever, it's all valuable and it all adds into the pot. And I'm really grateful for all of that. And, you know, I would just like to say that I've always been really grateful for everyone who's joined me here every week, as I said at the beginning. And I just want to really speak to the people now who are listening to the recording, who tune into the recording. What I want to say is, would you like the opportunity to join us sometimes live? Or are you happy just tuning in with the recording, with the audio or the video? Are you happy with that? Because, you know, what would make it accessible for you to join me in the recording? Because I go out Thursday, 4 o'clock Thursday every week, because it's convenient for me, right? I recognise, obviously, I limit who can join me because most people are at work, apart from people who are at work and skiving off by listening in their ear, which we have today. Anyway, but yeah, but most people are working and consumed in life. But, you know, what would make it accessible for you? Perhaps if I could go out a different time, or maybe I could alternate the times. I could go out. In fact, in a few weeks, I've got someone coming from New Zealand, so I'm going to have to do a morning session to see how that works out. But, you know, maybe I could do an evening session. Maybe I could alternate the times, or maybe I could move it to the evening. What would work for you? What would make it, if you want to join me, what would make it accessible for you to join me? That's what I'm asking. So please let me know. Please just reply to this email and let me know when this comes out. I really want to make the community accessible for people. All right, I'm going to get on to talking about the topic now, which is exploring the topic a little bit. And then, you know, I'm just going to do this for like 10 minutes or so, or what time are we on? Yeah, for 10-15 minutes, I'm going to talk through this and then open up for the people who are here with me today. If you want to contribute, you can do it on the recording, or as usual, we'll turn the recording off and you can hang around and just chat afterwards, or you don't have to at all. No pressure to contribute. I really welcome your contributions, but no pressure to do that either. So yeah, I've talked about self-doubt being the hallmark of authenticity. And I've really been considering what I mean by that the last couple of days as I've been preparing for this session. And the reason I talked about that is it's something that I really recognise as one of the positive indicators of self-doubt through the work I've been doing, is that people who come, who experience self-doubt and who come to the work and who are open to learning through self-doubt, I really believe it is a hallmark of their authenticity, or their desire to be authentic, the desire to show up as authentic. And what I find with the people who come to this work is that they have a really hard time pretending to be something that they're not. And then that can really show up sometimes as self-doubt. Okay, so sometimes we're expecting ourselves to be a certain way. In the world, whether we're in a meeting at work, or we're showing up for clients, or we're doing something like this, we're doing a talk, in a relationship, any area of our life, we may be expecting ourselves to be a certain way, but we can't do that, and we can't pretend to do that. And so then that can bring up that, you know, that little intersection in life can bring up a whole load of self-doubt and questioning about how I'm expecting myself to be and how I'm not able to be. So this is one of the struggles, right, that comes out. But underneath it all is this real desire to be authentic. And I really value that. It's one of the things that I really value about the people who come to this work, is that level of honesty. So I had to think about, well, I was digging around and thinking a little bit more about what this means. And I thought about the word authentic, right, because it's kind of a word that we hear a lot nowadays, isn't it? We have a desire for people to be authentic, we have a desire for ourselves to be authentic, but what does it actually mean to be authentic? So the quality of authenticity is just about knowing that something is real or true. And so when something is authenticated, it's stamped as authenticated, right? So that's where it comes from. It's knowing that something is real or true. And I guess that means that it's knowing that somebody is being really true to their values and being in line with their beliefs, showing up in line with their beliefs and their values. So, and when somebody is authentic, when we sense that somebody is authentic, it helps us to trust them, because we know that we believe that we can rely on what they're telling us. But if you think about that quality of authenticity, is like, well, narcissistic leaders can be really authentic, right? So they believe in themselves. They're totally in line with their values. But they don't give a toss that their values are, you know, stepping over other people and damaging other people. But, you know, they're totally true and authentic to themselves. But they don't care about the impact and the consequences on other people. So I think it's something a little bit more than authenticity we're looking for in this quality. So yeah, we want people to be authentic. But so this is where I think, you know, self-doubt and authenticity are quite a good match, because if somebody has doubted their authenticity, so a narcissistic leader or somebody who's really certain about their beliefs and not willing to question their beliefs, they can be really authentic, right? But, you know, as I said, that they can, their consequences can damage other people. But when somebody has shown the ability to question themselves or doubt themselves and then be authentic, then that brings a totally different quality to that authenticity. This is what I think, anyway. And as I said, I'm just exploring this topic, and it'd be really great to know what you think, what comes up for you as I talk about this. So what I find a lot in the self-doubt coaching is that so people are coming to me, they're having a hard time pretending to be something they're not, but they're expecting to be something they're not. So that is where, this is an intersection of life where their self-doubt shows up. So we explore that. And we find out what's going on underneath. And often it is about an expectation to be a certain way. So we pull that expectation apart and get underneath it and question it and doubt it. And in that way, so the work really is essentially is about accepting ourselves and really accepting ourselves and getting in line with our values. That's the essence of the work, essentially, around self-doubt. And when we've done that, it allows us to show up as this truly authentic person in this truly authentic way, because we are truly in line with ourselves, but we truly accept ourselves. So does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. So the other thing is, how do we know when someone is being authentic? So how do we know we want somebody to be authentic, but how do we actually know that? How can we actually guarantee that someone is being authentic with us? I think it's a very difficult thing to see, isn't it? And I believe that you can always read someone's intention, mostly. I mean, you know, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on this, but, you know, it seems to me that you can always read someone's intention. So when someone is coming across as a little bit like, oh, wanting to get to know you, but actually they just want to sell you something, you can kind of tell, can't you? Actually, no, you're not really interested in getting to know me. You just want to sell me something, or you just want something from me. I think, you know, we can kind of tune into that quite easily. So, yeah, I think, you know, but we get a sense, don't we? How do we know someone's authentic? We just get it through a sense, and we just get it through a sense of being with that person and seeing them show up. I think that's how it works anyway. So yeah, I believe that, you know, when somebody shows the ability to doubt themselves, that we can trust their authenticity more. I believe that they've shown the ability to question themselves. So when they show up as authentic and they've questioned their authenticity, they've questioned what they're doing, I believe that that will bring more trust and more authenticity. And then also the other part of that is that, I can't remember what. Yeah, so it's just basically when someone is showing up with self-doubt and authenticity, you know that they've questioned self, you know they've examined their self-doubt. They're not just being true to themselves at the expense of everybody else, because that's not what we want, is it? and then I had another contribution actually around this. So somebody made a comment this, which I really wanted to pick up on. And this is somebody who's been through the work with me. And I'm not going to say her name because she has been through the work with me, but she talked about, she picked up on this topic, and she said, I used to have a fear of speaking the truth. And she said, now she feels that her truth comes from a place of love and stepping into her power with ease. And so that's what she has been given by kind of questioning, I guess, and doubting herself and going into that doubt and exploring that doubt. It's really brought her in line with what's inside, and that's enabled her to show up with a sense of love and with a sense of power. And this is certainly one of the outcomes that I just love to see from the work, when somebody goes away and they feel much more able to just show up in the world as a whole person. That's what this is about, right? You know, this is what we've talked about with the Strength and Weakness series. It's about becoming whole. It's about being able to show up as that whole person in the world. That's my ramblings on self-doubt and authenticity. And I'm going to open it up now while we're on the recording. If anybody wants to come on, just unmute yourself, uncamera yourself if you want to, you don't have to. And any, you know, what came up for you as I was talking through that? Anything? I'd love to hear your contributions on this. And of course, if you want to come on the recording, I know people who are listening to the recording really value that as well. Because you could just be saying the thing that they're thinking as they're driving along in the car, listening to this, or doing their housework, or whatever they're doing. If you're at the same token, you don't have to come on the recording. I'm going to close off the recording. I'm going to leave it open so we can just have a little discussion at the end. That's how it works here. I want to make it a valuable place for people to come along to the live sessions. But, you know, by the same token, I don't want you to feel pressured into having to contribute. So nobody's coming off the recording, but I'm going to stay on for a few minutes just in case they do. And what I'm going to do now is I'll just introduce you to what's coming up next week. I've spoken about it earlier that I'm going to start off this little series about self-doubt and creativity. And creativity is a really important topic for me. I believe that creativity, to be creative, is why we're here as human beings. I believe it's our purpose as human beings to be in touch with our creativity, because that's how we bring something to the world. That's how we transcend time, and we all have it within us. And also the important, I'm really passionate about this subject because I know what I've got from getting in touch with creativity. So for so many years working in an office and being a real systematic person who liked to get things done and achieve results, I never thought that I was a creative person at all. And it's really since, only the last few years since I qualified through a coaching, that I've really got in touch with creativity. And my creativity has come through my writing. It has given me such a sense of joy, and it's got me in touch with parts of myself that I never knew were there. But with that as well has become a huge amount of self-doubt. So, and I think this is also a reason why I think it's important to be creative in a certain way, because when you get creative and when you get in touch with your creative expression, it will introduce you to different parts of yourself that you kind of, you know, maybe keep hidden in certain circumstances. Because if you're going to express yourself creatively, you're opening yourself up to judgment and criticism of others, right? So it's going to introduce you to that part of yourself, and then you can, you know, that's what it did for me, and I was able to overcome that. So next week I've got a guest coming on, and he's coming from New York, and his name is Jason Gotts, and he was the host of a podcast. It was actually my first podcast I ever listened to, called Think Again. He was the host of this podcast for 5 years, and while he was host of that podcast, it was about creative improvisational conversation, this podcast. He interviewed authors and thought leaders from throughout the world, so people like Neil Gaiman, Sam Harris, who else? There's a list of names. I've put them on the little blurb that I'll put out before it. But, you know, some really big names. He interviewed all these people, and I love this podcast. It was such a great experience for me to connect with that. And he's actually just recently finished that and launched a new podcast called Clever Creature, and it's all about creativity. Clever Creatures, it's called. I'll put a link to it. And then, so he's coming on next week, and we're going to explore the topic of self-doubt and creativity. And I'm so excited about this conversation, because I've heard Jason talk with all these people and all the conversations and the way he goes with them. He's a very intelligent guy, and he's got a lot to bring. And just really looking forward to this conversation with him. It's going to be really exciting for me. So people who are here have not come off mute. You've not wanted to come off mute, that's absolutely fine, no problem at all. I'm going to bring the recording to an end now, and I'm going to stick a little while.
Can you hear me?
I can, Joy, hi.
Hello, I just got in the car out of work. I was working anyway, I was there.
You weren't working, you were listening, you were pretending to work.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, lovely.
No, something that you said before, made me think about something. So it was about authenticity and something you said you can feel when the other person maybe is not being authentic. And I thought it also, there is a component, I think, there of kind of not, like I can see for myself, like not being sure, like not believing that I could be loved as I am. So then having to kind of be someone else, behave, you know, and especially around ugly things, like if I'm being judgmental, I don't want to show that. But if I am with someone that I really feel comfortable with and I trust and I know they love me, regardless, you know, I can also show them my ugly side, so I can be fully authentic with them. So it also feels like it's not just something to do with me as how authentic am I, it's also how much the other person is letting me being authentic. There is a bit of two ways, I think. And also it's the more I feel loved for who I am, the more I feel loved for myself, the more I feel stable in a sense. And then I can risk to be authentic. I can risk to show also this side of me that might not be liked and might be rejected. But if I am feeling that I'm loved enough, then I can, yeah, I can have the courage. So this was my thought.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Thank you for that reflection, Joy. Really appreciate that. And what you're saying there, it's about, I guess, knowing that you're going to be accepted for whatever you're bringing, but also with other people, you know, you're recognizing that other people filter. Okay, so maybe their lack of authenticity is just a lack of comfort with themselves, which is, you know, we can accept that, right? We don't have to judge that. We can see that for what it is, and we can have empathy for that, can't we? And we can try and give space to that person, and maybe, you know, demonstrate somehow that we're not judging them, you know, which I think would be really important. So that's a really nice aspect of that. But also, you know, so I guess my experience around this as well is that the less I've felt the need to be accepted by other people, the more I've been able to be authentic and express myself. But this has been a recent journey, right? Because most of my life I've been like trying to get other people's approval and, you know, what does this person want for me, and worried about how I'm going to coming across, you know, worried that people are not going to like me. And, you know, I said before, I still want people to like me, of course I do, but it doesn't really matter so much anymore, you know, it doesn't have the same weight in my life about whether people accept me or not. So I think, you know, a large part of the journey is, you know, I think, you know, I believe a large part of the journey is about accepting ourselves for everything that we are. And then that's less important about what other people think of us. So I think that it all helps, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for
contributing. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. Great. So I think we're coming to the end. Thank you so much for that contribution. I really appreciated it, Joy. So yeah, we're coming to the end, and I've got something in the chat here. Oh yeah. So I just want to say thank you for joining me. Stick around on the live after I turn the recording off. Thank you for tuning into the recording. I'd love to hear your feedback from, you know, what anything that I've said today. So I'll just really open that up for you to come back and say. And also, yeah, just before I close off, I just wanted to give a shout out to our good friend Jay, who's usually here. He's in Barcelona. He usually joins us here. Jay's not well at the moment. He's been rather ill for the last week. He's suspected coronavirus, even though he's had one positive test and other negative tests. So he doesn't know whether he's had coronavirus or not. He's been very ill for the last week. He's okay in his illness, but he's been very ill nonetheless. So I just wanted to do a special shout out to Jay, who's usually here, and sending the love from all of the doubters to you, and hope that you get better very soon. Right, I will see you all next week.